sent of the Holy Spirit on Mary and the disciples. It's the end of Easter time. After today, the vessel of candle will only come out for baptisms and funerals. But you know, all that being said, Pentecost is not, strictly speaking, a Christian feast. The name Pentecost is the name of a Jewish feast day, sometimes called Weeks. It's an agricultural feast, the festival of the first fruits, the first harvest of the year. Three festivals are decreed in the book of Exodus: the celebration of the Passover, the celebration of the harvest of the first fruits, Pentecost, and the celebration of the ingathering at the end of the harvest time. The name is 50th Pentecost because of the timing of the first harvest, about 50 days after Passover, which, like Easter, is calculated from the first moon of spring. We Christians celebrate Pentecost under that name because it is the occasion, the time stamp, if you like, of our first fruits. The disciples and Mary were gathered in that upper room probably because of the festival of Pentecost, when the most amazing thing happened. The Holy Spirit came upon them all, tongues of fire appeared over their heads, and they began to speak so all could understand in every language known to humanity. People thought they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And this is really significant. Well, not the drunk at 9 in the morning part, that's not significant. But it's significant because the Holy Spirit is how the followers of Jesus continue his work in the world. Now, most movements don't last more than a generation of maybe two beyond the death of their founders. And Jesus, although he's risen from the dead, isn't available in the same way as before his crucifixion. He has ascended to his Father, just as he promised, which leaves something of a challenge. Where do the followers of Jesus go from here? And what happens when those who actually knew Jesus in his life on earth can't be the leaders anymore because they've grown too old or died? Will it turn into a sort of second-hand movement? Like a tribute band, or like Elvis impersonators, or maybe those friends of mine who are Civil War reenactors, copying as closely as possible the originals? Or maybe like things we tend to call retro, which are not the original thing, but hark back to them, at least in some ways. Like the digital CD player that looks like a 1940s radio. What is it? Do we really need a religion based not on the real thing, but on inspired by? This is why the Holy Spirit is so crucial, because this is how we move forward without becoming historians or antiquarians, more concerned with what's in the past than what's in the future. There's nothing secondhand about the presence of God's Holy Spirit with us. The Advocate, the Paraclete, the God with us, the first fruits, with us in our meaning making and in our actions. But as they say, wait, there's more. First fruits are just that, first. What further harvest will there be? What new thing is God doing even now? A few years ago, the United Church of Christ had an advertising line that was printed on really enormous banners and hung on the outside of churches, like two-story banners. I used to drive by one pretty frequently, and I always was struck by this banner. All it says in giant letters is, "Still speaking." God is still speaking. The descent of the Holy Spirit in that upper room was the commencement of the church. We say birthday, but that's a word that sort of indicates history. Commencements may be a better term, because commencement exercises, I know they signify the end of school, but they're about the beginning of the rest of life, the commencement. Similarly, our celebration of Pentecost is not only commemoration of the past, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and the church was born, but it's also the beginning of a new thing. The God, new thing that God's doing, and God's always doing something new. Always. Now, as the church, with some 1,700 years of history as an institution, we forget this pretty often, and really to our peril. In these days of declining church participation, declining prominence of religion in public life, in a world that sometimes seems to be falling apart more quickly than ever, it's only natural to want to close ranks, circle up the wagons, defend our country, our community, our church, our family, ourselves, from what feels like danger all around. But as St. Paul writes to the Romans, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So where do we go from here? We're delivered from slavery from the need to fear, just as the Israelites were delivered from slavery in Egypt. We and our relationships are transformed in this new community, this new way of being Christ's body in the world. How are we to live as confident of that promise? As heirs and not as fearful slaves? How are we to speak the gospel, to incarnate, embody the word for those who aren't here? For the next generation. What new thing do we hear from God who's still speaking? May God give us the will to do these things for which He's already given.